Because if you're going to have purpose in your life, you've got to not only worship God, you've got to have acts of righteousness. You see, the Christian life is not just about coming in here on Sunday morning and worshiping. It's not about celebrating Christmas and Easter. It is about a life that is a life of acts of worship and acts of righteousness. This is Malachi. I'm bringing him up here today because we're going to be talking about Jesus and the birth of Jesus in our lesson. And if you'll notice, your sermon notes is waiting on the baby. And I remember very specifically when Nancy was pregnant with Matthew, she could not wait to have that baby. She was tired of being pregnant, and we ended up walking I don't know how many miles in order to induce her pregnancy. And let me just tell you, it didn't work. And I remember that story because when David and Mackenzie, and I don't know if you remember, some of you probably do, when Mackenzie was pregnant with Malachi, it looked like she was all baby. She's a petite lady anyway, and I was having dinner with them one night, and she was rubbing her belly, and she was saying, "Oh, I cannot wait for this baby to be born." So there's some waiting, and there's waiting, and there's excitement in that waiting. Some of the kids that I've been talking to, I've been asking, "Hey, are you excited about Christmas?" "Yes." "What are you going to get?" "I don't know." But there's excitement in that waiting. There is some waiting going on right now for some people. I know some of you have gotten your family in, and there are some people that are waiting on family to get there, and there's some excitement with that. But can you imagine what it must have been like to be the mother and dad of Jesus and waiting on that baby? There was another person that was waiting on the baby. Wasn't waiting on the baby to be born, but waiting for the baby to come into the temple, and that was Simeon. And Simeon was waiting on that, and so excited about Jesus showing up that day, as the scripture was read to you. But those of you who have been a Christian for a number of years, you're waiting on something too. It's the return of our Lord. And I think that Simeon gives us a great example of what we should be doing as we're waiting on the baby or waiting on Jesus. If you open up your lesson notes, you'll see in the lesson notes I've got down here John chapter 14, 1 through 4. And this scripture is Jesus talking to his disciples before he leaves them. And he's trying to prepare them for the fact that he is going to leave them and he's not going to be around anymore. And there's times in our life where we're waiting on Jesus. We're waiting for Jesus' return. And in this passage, Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So this holiday season, as we're thinking about waiting on baby, we're waiting on Christmas, we're waiting on families, we're also waiting on the Lord's return. And it should be something that we're excited about. I remember one time I was praying with some preachers, and as a matter of fact, some of you may know Jeff Walling, and I was praying with him. He and I were talking, and I was praying with him, and I prayed, and then he prayed, and one of the things that he shocked me with is he started off his prayer with, "Lord, come quickly." And I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute, Jeff, I've got things to do. Why are you praying, Lord, come quickly?" But as a mature Christian, we should be looking forward to the Lord's return, just like Joseph and Mary were looking for Jesus to come. Simeon was looking for Jesus to come, and he had been promised that he would see Jesus before his death. And he was so excited about it when Jesus got there, and he had a revelation. But what I want to talk to you about is how Simeon waited for Jesus and how we should be waiting also. We should be waiting for Jesus to return. But there's a way to wait and there's a way to do things. Just like Nancy and I were trying to get Matthew to come early because she was tired of being pregnant and we walked all those miles that did us no good. We need to be doing something to prepare for Jesus' return. The very first thing I think we need to do to how to live while we're waiting on Christ is we need to live with purpose. We need to live with purpose in our life. I watch so many people, they go through life and they have no purpose in their life. And I'm not talking about a purpose like I've got a job, I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got children. I'm talking about true purpose in your life. Having something that's worth living for. We have so many things in this world that are great things, don't get me wrong. But if you don't have a true purpose with your life, if all you're doing is living day to day, then you really don't have a purpose. Several of you asked me about watching TV, and I watch some TV. I don't watch a lot, but I do watch some TV. The reality of it is I don't need a reality show. I live here at this church, and this is as much reality as I need. So the thing I'm trying to get to you is, if your day is filled with going to work and you're watching TV all day, do you really have a purpose in this life? Are you doing what you should be doing? Look at what it says when it talks about Simeon. It says he was righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. There's two things that I want you to get there, and I left you enough margin there because we talked about margins last week. Right under the word righteous, right under acts. And then under devout, write the word worship. Because if you're going to have purpose in your life, you've got to not only worship God, you've got to have acts of righteousness. You see, the Christian life is not just about coming in here on Sunday morning and worshiping. It's not about celebrating Christmas and Easter. It is about a life that is a life of acts of worship and acts of righteousness. And you need to have that in your life. I know many of y'all are familiar with Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius, and he was the first Gentile that was ever converted to Christianity, and he was a devout man, it says, and he gave alms to the poor. You see, God doesn't just want you to worship him, he wants you to live a life of righteousness. Acts chapter 13 and verse 16, it says, "For when David," and underline these words, "served God's purpose in his own generation." It says he fell asleep and was buried with his father, and his body decayed. I think that's a very significant passage of Scripture, because God created you. And if God created you, he created you with a reason in mind. And it probably wasn't just, I think somebody needs a diaper change. Yep, that's what we need. And you know what I really love? Is I want you to see who got up. Dad got up to do this. This is a different generation, isn't it? There you go. Yeah. Yeah, he gave me a present. That's the reason why you don't work with animals and children. But anyway, let's go on here. It says David had served his purpose in his generation, in his own generation. We all have been created by Jesus Christ, amen? We've been created by God, and God created us for a purpose. And a lot of us are not living out our purpose that God created us for. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm concerned about in heaven, I know that heaven's going to be great, but I think that what's going to happen for a lot of us is a lot of us are going to realize we missed the boat here on this earth. We had opportunities abounding to do good, and we did not do good. We're going to see the possibilities before us, maybe, I don't know. But when we see those possibilities, we're going to wish that we had done more. Number two, We need to live in God's promises. We need to live in God's promises. I'm teaching a class on Sunday morning to the teens, and we're talking about our relationships and our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And there's three questions that we've learned about, and I've taught this in an adult class, so you might remember it. But whenever you meet anybody for the first time, the very first thing they want to know is, do you like me? And I put, do you like / love me? And the second question that everybody wants to know is, can I trust you? And that trust comes over time. You don't just trust somebody when you first meet them. You have to earn that trust over time. And when you earn that trust, there will come a point where they will ask the question of you is, can you help me? And it may take years before they can do that. There's a friend of mine that I know, and he has another mutual friend that I've known. I've known both of these guys since they were teenagers. And one of them's having a difficult time right now. And the one that I have spent the most time with, he trusts me. And so he knew that this other friend was having trouble, so he put the two of us together. And I tried to help this young man, but the bottom line was, is he didn't know me well enough to trust me. And I couldn't help him. My point being is, you've got to have that trust in that relationship before you can know somebody can help you. And God has given us so many promises. It says here, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that's something to live for, that I'm not going to die until Jesus is born and I get to see him. So every day I'm anxiously anticipating that Jesus is coming. And here it says in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 14, now I am about to go the way of all of earth. You know with all of your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. We talked about this morning when we were talking about relationships, that we mess up in our relationships. We fail people from time to time, and that makes it harder to trust one another because we fail each other. And when you fail someone, it's you got to start over, and you've got to build that trust. But when it comes to God and God's promises to us, God's promises from His Word, not a single promise has failed. It says not one has failed, and I want you to underline that. This is not one of all God, of the good promises the Lord your God has gave you has failed. So when we're waiting on Jesus' return, we need to live in those promises. And the reason why we need to live in those promises, because we live in a broken world with all kinds of bad things going on. If you watch the news long enough, you're going to be depressed. Amen? But we have God's promises. We are His children, and we're going to reign with Him in heaven. So we need to rely on God's promises. Number three, we need to live in God's Spirit. Who was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Who was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I know we're teaching a class on the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning, and I really kind of hate that I'm missing that, because I love the topic of the Holy Spirit and how He works in your life and how He works in my life. And I'm going to tell you, in my journey as a Christian, the idea of the Holy Spirit working in your life was just really kind of a foreign thing when I was growing up. And then as I got older, I realized there was something to this idea that the Holy Spirit works in our life. And then I understood from some good Bible teachers that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And then as I have grown, and I'm hoping that God will give me some more years so that I can understand even more, but as I have grown, that as we're walking with God and walking with Him through His Word, He will touch your heart when you need it most. And He will give you the answers to some of the most difficult things that you're dealing with. I will always be grateful for God giving us His Holy Spirit. You know that as we became Christians, He gave us that gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's up to us to fan the flames of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." A lot of us want the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to have that peace that passes understanding. We want that joy that the world can't understand. We want to be able to have that calmness that we get from God, knowing that everything is going to be okay, but we don't spend enough time with God. And when we don't spend time with God, and we don't spend time in prayer, and we don't spend time reading God's Word, we don't spend time meditating on what God wants for our life, and then we realize, hey, we don't have that peace. We don't have that joy. We don't have that comfort when things are going bad. It's because we're not filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Number four, we need to live in obedience. We can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless we're filled with obedience. Moved by the Spirit, He went into the temple courts. Many of us are struggling right now. Many of us are struggling. We got some sin in our life that we need to conquer. And it may not be a major sin. You may not be stealing from anybody. You may not be cheating on your taxes. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. You may not be getting drunk on a regular basis. But you're not living in obedience because of the fact that you're not doing what God has called you to do. You see, I think a lot of times we have this idea of sin of omission and sin of commission. And we think, well, as long as I'm not doing any of the things that we've been commanded not to do, then I'm okay. But we forget about and we omit the things that we're commanded to do that we're not doing. One of the things that I will tell you as a church, as a body of believers, is if your finances are not in line with God's will, you're outside of obedience. If your relationships with your spouse and your children are outside of God's will, what God would want for you to be, then you're not living in obedience. If your relationships at work are outside of God's will, you're not living in obedience. And it's when we live in obedience that God can work in our life and that God's Spirit is with us. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands." One of the hardest questions for a lot of Christians is, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And there are a number of you in here that maybe not even thought about that in a while. But one of the things that I struggle with is people that are members of the church that claim to be Christians, and you ask them that question, and they say, "I hope so." And the reason why they say, "I hope so," is because they have no knowledge of the One who saved them. And they're not living in that obedience. There's so many Christians that are out there today that are coming to church on Sunday mornings, and they're hoping to punch their ticket enough so that they can get in. I heard one guy say to me one time, he says, "You know, Neil, I don't care if I have a mansion in heaven, as long as God will let me in, I'll take a shack." And we shouldn't be living wanting a shack. We should be living wanting a mansion. Not because we're proud, but because of the fact that we want to be with God. The fifth thing, live with the future in mind. Live with the future in mind. So many times we're living for today, or we're living for what we think the future should look like. We're someday, we have this island that we live on. It's called Someday Isle. Someday I'll become a Christian. Someday I'll have enough money to retire. Someday I'll be able to donate some time to the church. Someday I'll teach my neighbor about Christ. Someday I'll do all of these things. And someday never gets here. And we need to live with the future in mind. It says He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what we're doing when we're living with the future in mind is we're living with the idea that this earth is not our home. We're just a passing through, as the song says. That no matter what it is we get to enjoy on this earth, it's very temporary. It's not going to last forever. And our time on this earth is so short. And we need to live with the idea that heaven is our home. I've said this before, and it's something I want you to remember. The only hell a Christian will ever experience is the hell here on earth. And the only heaven a non-Christian will ever experience is the heaven here on earth. And if you look at eternity versus the number of days we have here on this earth, there's no comparison to what is awaiting for us in heaven. I'm human. Did y'all realize that? I don't know, maybe some of you thought I was saintly or something, but I'm very human. As a matter of fact, sometimes on Sunday morning I get up and I think to myself, this church is so dumb. They've hired me as their preacher, and they don't know anything at all about how my mind works. They don't have any idea of the struggles I had. If this church knew who I really was and knew what I was really all about, and how sometimes I don't even treat my wife right, they'd never hire me. You see, we struggle with that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I live with the future in mind, and that is I keep pressing on to what God has called me heavenward to. Number 6, live in praise. Live in praise. I wish I had time right now to go through what the power of praise is. But power of praise is basically it'll change your thinking. And when you praise God, when you spend time worshiping God, whether it's in song in the congregation or whether it's privately by yourself, where you spend time praising God for who He is and what He's done, your perspective on everything changes. On January the 2nd, we are going to be doing Start the New Year praise and prayer worship service. It's going to just be, going to be a very short invitation. I'm not going to be preaching a lot, so just, you know, that's got to be a day you're looking forward to. But we're going to be having some of our young men read scriptures. We're going to be having our elders be doing prayers for the congregation. We're going to be having a great service that day. And I'm going to tell you, it may be that sometimes you come in here and you hear a sermon and you leave out of here and you're changed and you think that was a great sermon, I needed to hear that. But if you really want to change who you are, come on January 2nd, because if you come in here and you truly worship, God's going to change you. That's the bottom line. And we need to live in praise. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Psalms 33 and verse 1 says, sing joyfully to the Lord your righteousness. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Underline those words. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. If you really want to be living the right kind of life, you really want to be the person that God created you to be, you need to be a person of praise, and you need to live in praise. And the very final point this morning is you need to live in the truth optimistically. Need to live in the truth optimistically. Now, I want you to understand something. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. I deal with brothers and sisters all week long, and they're having difficulties. We have a prayer list that sometimes looks like it's a daunting amount of names that are on it, and those are not all the names that I'm even aware of. And what I'm saying is in this world, Jesus' words, in this world you will have trouble. I wish it wasn't that way, but in this world, you're going to have trouble. I've been dealing with a bad knee for about 6 months now, and I can't get the doctors to get me any relief. They've tried everything. The insurance company is part of the problem, and if you're working for an insurance company right now and you're holding up my claim, you need to repent. But the one thing I do know is in this world, you will have trouble. Look at what Simeon said here. The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Wow. You know, I think it would have been better if he'd have just looked at Mary and said, "You have an ugly baby." Because those words are tough. When you look at somebody's baby and you say, "Hey, your baby's going to do this and your baby's going to do that," and Simeon, who was full of the Holy Spirit, and you know Mary took the words in and so forth, but do you realize what is going to happen in ahead? When these words were written, it was already determined that Christ would be crucified. When these words were determined, Mary would be sitting at the foot of the cross watching her son be crucified. And I believe that God spared Joseph, and that's the reason why he was not there, because I don't know many men who could stand at the foot of the cross and watch their son be crucified. But in those days, a woman didn't have the power they have today, and they had to just deal with it, because physically they weren't able to do anything about it. But Jesus had prepared his mother, and Simeon prepared her mother for what was going to happen. And one of the things you need to understand is the truth of the matter is this world is not an easy place to live in. It's not. Sin abounds. There is unrighteousness in the world. There is corruption everywhere we turn. There is inflation. There is heartache. There is disease. In case you haven't noticed, there's a pandemic going around. This is not a pleasant place to be, but we need to live in the truth optimistically, so that no matter what we're struggling with, no matter what's going on around us, we'll be able to live optimistically. When our kids were little, we had rules to live by. Some of them were fun and some of them were not. One of them was, don't spit out the window when Dad's driving. It always blows back in your face. That was a rule they came up with. It's not one I came up with. But one of the things that I really, really liked, and I reminded of the boys every time we went over the rules to live by, was the very first rule. And that very first rule was this, that no matter what is happening to you, no matter what's going on around you, and no matter where you are, your mom and dad love you. I think we added in there, no matter what you've done, your mom and dad love you. Because I wanted them, no matter what happened in their life, no matter what was going on around them, I wanted them to be certain of that love. And today, I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, God loves you, and He's here for you. The final passage this morning is Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that this present suffering, that our present suffering, are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And I believe that verse has to do with heaven, but I believe it also has to do with this life here on this earth. That there is a glory that is going to be revealed in us if we will hang on to God during our suffering, during the bad times of life. That there will be a glory that will be revealed in us if we will hang on to that. This week is an exciting week. We get time off. We get to spend time with family and friends. We get to exchange gifts. We get to do all kinds of fun things this week. And I know for some of you it's a sad week because there's somebody that you love that you can't be with, maybe because they're living in another place or maybe because they're gone and they're no longer with you. But I want you to know this, that no matter what's going on this Christmas holiday, there is a God in heaven that loves you and wants what's best for you. And He's given His Son as a baby to grow up and to be a man and die on a cross so that you may live with Him in all eternity. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.